Welcome back or welcome to the Single Track Podcast. I'm your host, Finn Melanson, and in this episode, we're releasing our first three Javelina 100 pre-race interviews with Preston Cates, Tara Dower, and Riley Brady. But before diving in, thank you so much to NAAQ for sponsoring this show. NAAQ, spelled N-A-A-K, has a special deal for Single Track listeners where you can head over to their website and use the code SINGLETRACK15. The Single Track portion is in all caps at checkout to get 15% off your next order. And if you're looking for recommendations in the process, the three products that I have been enjoying the most lately are their salted soup drink mix, the watermelon drink mix, and their sweet potato purees. They've also just got a really helpful website in general. They've got a section that's dedicated to ultra runner recipes. They've got hydration nutritional guides. They've got race day nutritional guides and recovery-based nutritional guides. And there's just a bunch more there. So if you're curious, head over to NAAQ.com and go check them out. With that, let's get on to the show. Preston Cates, it is a pleasure to have you on the Single Track Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to be on it. I've been watching it grow and it's getting cool.
I appreciate it. Well, yeah, it's, as I was saying offline, it's your first appearance on the pod. So this might be slightly longer than a usual pre-race convo. I think the first question I have is, like, you know, looking at your resume, you ran collegiately at both Western Colorado and U of Arkansas. Did you get the trail running inspiration, the trail running bug in Gunnison, or did it happen elsewhere?
Well, I grew up in Boulder, and so some of my high school coaches, we would just do easy runs around some of the trails there. And so I think the main inspiration came from the friend group that I grew up around. But then when I was on Western States team, it was just developing myself as a runner. So I was actually, we did some trail running for sure, but like it was just more like competitiveness. I was just in a good big group of 15 freshmen and I just wanted to grow on it. So.
How'd you land in Flagstaff?
So grew up in Boulder, and then once I actually went to grad school in Austria for during COVID, and it was, wow, it was a shit show. And so kind of a catalyst for me to like figure out what I wanted to do with myself. And so then I came back to the US and started training really, really hard and actually got my sponsorship and then was deciding, do I want to be in Boulder or do I want to be in Flag? And I picked Flag because we did altitude camps here. So I had some connections, but also I'm a big believer in just personal development. And moving to a new location on your own allows you to completely redevelop yourself. And I wanted to take that life experience over staying in a place where I knew I could just be comfortable. So
on the personal development front, I find that interesting. I think if you asked most people, they'd say, yeah, at least intellectually, I believe in personal development, but you're pretty, like that's a very like vocal thing that you care about. Walk us through some of that. Like, why is that such a focal point in your life?
Yeah, I mean, that is, I'm just an avid learner. I love growing. And I think that putting yourself in situations to stretch yourself is what does it. And this sport is what holds a lot of that too. And so to you, to race a really hard, long ultra race, you're going into the unknown and not knowing where you're going to be getting your limits pushed. Just as moving to a new location, you're like, holy shit, I don't know what this is going to bring out of me. And the more you get confidence in working outside of routine, you're just having confidence with your life experience, and then you just carry that with you everywhere you go. So
talk about the setup in Flagstaff, because like when I came into the sport back in 2016-17, Flagstaff was sort of branded as like the home of the Coconino Cowboys, and it was like the Jim Walmsley, Cody Reed, Frericks, Sensman, Hazen show. I'm not nearly as tapped in as others are, but like my sense is that like it's changing a little bit, and maybe there's just like different players in town, or so talk about that, like where you live in, who you're training with, what's the scene like?
Yeah, so I mean the scene is great as long as you're committed to putting in the work, right? What I like about Flag itself is it's very blue collar. Everyone's just like, hey, I'm in here and I'm gonna put in the work, and there's not really worried about all the other jazziness of it. And so I mean, is the scene the same as it was when the Cowboys were going on? Not at all. Like, Jim's obviously out in France. Jared's still training hard, but he's like picking in and up with people. I run with him every once in a while in the canyon. We have a big upcoming guy named Joey DeFeo, if you've heard of him.
Yeah, of course. Had him on the show.
Yeah, Joey's a dog. So, dog. But anyways, and so like the scene is it's not as like super fine tied together as maybe the Salt Lake scene or maybe like the Boulder scene, but we have all of the pieces, but I feel like it's slowly recreating itself in terms of who I train with specifically. I mean, I'm a very like nomadic person already, so I like hopping in with different people all the time. I run with, do you know who Lindsay McDonald is?
Of course.
Yeah. So I run with her a lot, which is because she's just intellectually, she's just a nerd about this sport. She loves it much. And to me personally, like I'm not super into all of the science, but she does a great job of explaining some stuff that is relatable. And then we can talk through some stuff, which is really awesome. But like to me, actually, it's funny enough. I was on Instagram the other day and I saw Jason Koop's pod or something. He made a post about like, I only interview scientists or the best experts because I need to talk about all the facts, which is sure cool. Like, I get that. But the thing is if your brain is not wired that way, it's so dense, it's hard to absorb. And so Lindsay is a great combination of like being really educated and smart in the sport, but also allowing me to like run and have fluidity and funness in the conversation. So, but anyways, that's somebody. And then like, I just hop on the track with some of the NAZ guys sometimes or like, and yeah, so it just all hops around. So
hitting some double threshold workouts with Mike Smith.
Oh no, not I again. No, during indoor season, I'll hop on the track because last winter was pretty bad snow. But to be honest, my training is way more fluid and rigid. I actually am self-coached, and so but yeah.
That's a great shout out to Lindsay. We have not had her on the pod yet, but she is definitely on the list. We did like a brief interview with her post it would have been Broken Arrow. I think she got second in the 50k there. Great day. Mm-hmm. All right, you also run for Nike, and to me these sponsorship things are always a black box. Like, how much of a part of your life are these deals? Like, so in the case of you running for Nike, is it a full-time thing? Is it a part-time thing? Are you chasing the pro dream? Do you want to keep it like compartmentalized as this like side gig or hobby thing? Talk about that.
Yeah, I started out with working another job at the same time. And I was doing that all the way until Lake Sonoma. And then right before Lake Sonoma, I stepped away from the part-time job and just focused on running.
Nice.
Which is really exciting because like, I think that back to the personal development thing, it was nice to have being able to manage multiple things at the same time. And there's a lot of growth there, but like working a remote job on the computer is so polar opposite to the lifestyle that you need to have as a trail runner. And so specifically an ultra runner. And so now I am in love with just being able to wake up, prioritize my sleep, prioritize my athletic space. And like, I do a lot of running, obviously, but I care more about like I'm doing all the other things because I care. Because in my opinion, like, I'm looking for low hanging fruit, and running is like super important, but I've been running for a long time and I want to make sure that I preserve it carefully so that I don't get burned out. And so,
how are you feeling the rest of the days? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people in the audience that are saying like, okay, you're a full-time runner, you go do your run, and then what? And like you said, you're mentioning you're doing all these little things. So what does the rest of a day look like?
Yeah, so a lot of it's – so I'll – depending on – well, first of all, I sleep like 9 to 10 hours a night, which is
– hell yeah.
Which is beautiful. And so – and then I'm doing a lot of like – I'll bike to coffee shops, commute usually always on my bike. And then I'll do a lot of reading and writing. I'll have a nonfiction fiction book depending on motivation level. And then I'll write depending on like insights that are popping up from either book. And then, yeah. And so I just try to keep my brain in the right spot because you need to have your brain and your body both in the right spot to be racing competitively. And then actually recently my landlord he has a holiday cheer business. So just casually I've been working part-time for the season as setting up Christmas lights. So that's
hell yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What are you reading right now? What's the nonfiction book?
The nonfiction book is actually the running book of The Perfect Mile.
Ooh, I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, it's about the breaking the sub-4-minute barrier with Roger Bannister and Wes Senti. And so it's actually good stuff. I've pulled a few good things out of it. That is, it's the way that they write the story is good, but it's not too dense either. Growing up, I didn't do a lot of running reading because I was just like, dude, I do it all the time. I don't want to. But now I'm like, okay, maybe I should actually read some running books. So.
And as an aside, I love that you're writing daily, and this is a totally selfish wish. I shouldn't say selfish, but like as a fan of pro athletes in the sport, I'm wishing that more of them did a better job, at least privately, of documenting their journey over the course of their careers, because then you have this amazing library of content. I don't know, maybe you convert it into a book, convert it into a movie. And you know, we need more like autobiographical stuff out there, like Scott Jurek has put out, like Jen Farr Davis has put out. So keep it up. I think it's a good thing to memorialize this stuff and to keep it fresh in the moment, as opposed to like having to reach back into the recesses of your memory like 10 years later and being like, how was I really thinking there? Or like, how were things going? I find that cool.
Totally. Well, and that's the thing, is on top of, I have two different like journals as well. I have a like agenda where like I wake up and like either the night before or the day of, I'm like writing out my tasks. And then I have a reflection where it's like the emotions that I'm feeling, that like the capturing the experiences. And so I separate those, because together it gets all mucky, but yeah.
So I think you were saying earlier that it was sometime around grad school, 2020, 2021, where things started to get more intentional for you about this sport. And if I fast forward and look at the last like 11 months, you've got a JFK podium, fourth at Way Too Cool, third at Sonoma. You won that Headlands 50K earlier this summer, a win and a course record at the super specific Javelina Hangover race. That's a lot of racing, a lot of really impressive results. I guess for you, has this year felt like a significant step forward in your ultra career? Like how do you contextualize it?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's anything different than my last year. But the thing is that I have more energy to focus on directly my racing. Whereas in last year, it was, I moved to a new place. I got to learn the trails. I got to learn who my friends are. I got to learn how I fit in here. Now it's like, dude, I'm in a house with some cool homies. I know where I like running. I know what gives me energy. Now I'm like, sweet, I'm going to dilate specifically on where I know I'm going to pick races to do well. Whereas in last year, I was like, I did a golden trail race out in Norway and just got my shit rocked. And I'm like, it's completely different. Like there, my first year was really much so, all right, let's just rip off the curtains and learn and get after it. And now this year's like, okay, now I'm starting to like figure out my shit, and I want to pick things that like I know will help me. So
are you living in a running house?
Yes and no. So we have actually, yes, it's a running house, but like the squad's super cool. So I have my buddy Jake that I was with at my apartment, my last place. He's just like dirtbagger, always looks for a vert, and he didn't grow up a runner, but he just gets a lot of vert. And then I have a D2 guy who actually transferred D1, similar story that I kind of have. His name's Eric Hamill, and so he's getting after it. And then his girlfriend Grace is also here too, who's also was a soccer player that is also a runner. So okay, we have a goofy running bunch, but we're not like crazy runners, I guess. I don't know. So
my good friend up here in Salt Lake, Caleb Olson, said that he stopped by back in August while he was in town for a wedding, said it was a cool spot.
Oh, the house is sick. We fell into a beautiful home with awesome landlords, and then the personalities of the people are cool. And it was great to have Caleb pop in too. So, yeah.
All right. Kind of a funky question here as we're just getting closer to Javelina topics. If you were to put like, are you familiar with Madden? Like the Madden video game football series?
I'm not good at it, but yes.
Okay. If you had to put like, assuming we're putting like Madden ratings around your skill sets in the sports, like how would you rate yourself around like running in the desert and being in these less mountainous, faster racing environments? Like, would you say that your skill set's more in like that pure running turnover arena, or is a race like Javelina, you know, outside your comfort zone? Like how do you think about that?
If you asked me a year ago, I would have been like 12% maybe, because I did Black Canyon and threw everything up and it was a struggle. But then now being in here and running in the canyon a lot, I'd confidently say like maybe 75%. Like there's still some things. I think heat probably is one of the hardest things for me to figure out in running versus some of the others. I mean, I haven't jumped into the night running yet, but I know that's going to be a learning curve as well. But specifically for desert stuff, I'm pretty confident. Like this race is like, I did the 75K, and like it's fast, dude. It's so fast. Based off of the weather, it's not gonna be as hot as we think, but like I have experience at longer races, and so this is gonna be my longest race, but you're only adding a couple more hours, and I'm just a competitive little shit that's gonna put myself in the mix. So like I think that right there is like a level that some people just don't have, that I'm just like, I don't care, man. I'm in it. Let's go. So, but yeah.
I was going to say, like, personality wise, are you someone that can handle a lot of risk? Like, you enjoy being in pretty extreme risk-taking environments?
Yeah, maybe too much, though. I don't know. So I grew up as a wrestler, and I just, like, I'm just going to say I'm a confident person in the sense that, like, I mean, our sport in wrestling was you're on the mat. If you lose, you have to take all of the responsibility. And so – and it's a really tough sport of, like, you are literally fighting someone for 6 to 8 minutes. And, like – and so from that and having good coaches there, like, it – I have a lot of just principles that I'm just, like, I love. And then also I'm obsessed with just competition. Like, I play pool, I play chess, I play. And so when you put me on the line, like, mentally, I'm just like, all right, how do I make sure this doesn't break so that I can stay in it? So, but yeah.
I like what you said about how in wrestling, it's one of those sports where as soon as you hit the mat, you got to take full responsibility. And I think running is an identical sport in a lot of ways. And it's, and I'm not immune to this. This is an observation that I see in myself, but in a lot of the running, it's interesting to see, like, the social media postmortems at a lot of these races, both when things go right and when things go wrong, and the level of accountability that people do take or don't take on as a result of those outcomes. I find it fascinating.
Yeah, totally. So, but some people just sugarcoat it and then they don't get the deep learnings. So that's their own thing. But yeah.
Talking more about training, you know, you did that 75K race out in McDowell. That's about as specific as it gets. But then I also see instances where, like, man, you're still dabbling in the big ditch. You're still in nature's time machine. Like, what's going on? Like, to talk about, like, that sort of mismatch there. And also, are you logging everything on Strava? Because no. It seems relatively low, but now, okay, you're a little dark.
Yeah, I'm a little dark, but also generally my mileage isn't high as most people's. Like, I mean, I always ping or look at Drew Holman's, just how his lifestyle is working a little bit. The guy's running like 75 miles a week and he's keeping up with Zach Miller, who's running 140. Like, and that's where I'm like, dude, fitness isn't everything. It's mental. And if your mental is not there, then you don't get access to the extra fitness. And so that's a big part
of
it.
Great point.
Yeah, totally. So, but like something, why I still jumped in the big ditch. I mean, that place is a magical place. And so right now, as I taper into or go into my racing, I go to places that, like, and this is hippy dippy, but I go to places that give me energy. The canyon is freaking legit. It hardens your legs. It's a 100-mile race. You need to get harden your legs for the descent. Now I'm going to Sedona. I'm going to my flag spots. I'm going to all the places that I know that should make me happy. And I fill myself up and I go, let's go race, baby. Like, that's that's what I do. So
even if it is hippy dippy, I believe in it too. I think it works.
Totally. 100%. And if it, like, well, how does it not work? You're literally excited to be at those places. You're making your day better. You're getting filled with stoke. And then you literally go and just say, all right, man, I'm taking all this energy I got and I'm putting everything I can in this race. So
the Grand Canyon is your monastery.
Yeah, no, totally. It humbles people. But yeah.
You talked about Drew Holman, and I think you had some really good insights there about sort of like the mental physical trade-off there and what needs to be in alignment. When you, and again, we don't have to go through everybody, but talk about a couple other Nike teammates you have that stand out that you've taken a few learnings from and why, or what those have been.
Yeah, everyone is so unique in their own way. And there's, I mean, I wish that there was more, like I had more learnings from every single one of them, but it comes gradually. Like when I first joined the team, I was like, yo, da-da-da-da-da, like tell me everything. And everyone's just like, who's the new kid? Like leave him, like stop talking to us. That's how I was probably perceived. I don't know actually though. But anyways, but yeah. Drew's awesome. Tyler is just like methodical. That guy is so methodical about, like, at first, like, it's just a different style of running than I have. Like, I'm just like, put me in it. Let's see what happens. And he just knows himself so well and chips at it. So that's why I was stoked to see his Western States performance where he actually went from it from the gun kind of a way and like put himself out there. But like, there's so many insights that you can have from Tyler with it. He knows himself. His head is always screwed on in the right place. Matt Daniels, dude, that guy blows my mind on how like his training is. You look at it and you're like, dude, this guy is a workhorse.
Workhorse.
Totally. And so like I don't know, I don't know if anyone will be more fit than Matt in races. Like, it blows my mind how fit that guy gets. And so, but then there's obviously, like, that's why we love the sport, is it's so complex. There's so many layers, there's so many different things that the fit guy doesn't always win. And so, but the way that he like puts himself in the sport and says like, this is me, is impressive. So
he's blue collar for sure, to bring it back to what you were saying at the top of the show.
Totally. Totally. Very blue collar. So, and then we have some amazing women on the team too. I don't know them as well. But like, I mean, Brittany's coming back from an injury, and I met her at a photo shoot once, and she's just like a light of a person. And so I'm super happy to see that she's getting success again with becoming healthy. And so, but yeah, there's so many great people. Bailey is amazing. Met her. She's a super high energy ball. So, but yeah.
Right on. So if I look back at your ultra sign up, looks like, I don't know if we'd call them golden ticket attempts, but you were in golden ticket races, Canyons in 2021, Black Canyon in 22. Talk about those experiences, and I guess in the context of like, were those also golden ticket attempts? And is that why you're back at Javelina? Like, is the goal to ultimately make it to Western States next year?
I would love to run Western States, 100%. Like, I think that's something that will be on my list, whether it happens this year, hell yeah. If it doesn't happen this year, like, I'm going to still go for it eventually at some point in my life. The first one at Canyons, I mean, that was like me breaking into the ultra, and I just needed to get...
I remember that day.
Yeah. Yeah, that was me just like getting onto the scene and just trying to like show awareness of who I was, because like this is a crazy sport, and I knew I wanted to be in it from very early in college. So yeah,
because you were going to blow. It was like Max King, Laney, Noah Brodigam, Anthony Costales, and you were like with them basically to the finish. It was gutsy.
Yeah, it was a gutsy race. I mean, I was with them for halfway. The second half, I was like, oh my gosh, I got to figure my stuff out and make sure I get to the finish line and still like don't drop places. And so, but yeah. And so that one, I was shooting for the stars. If I got a golden ticket there, I would have been jazzed. But like, I just knew that really what the experience was, my body wasn't perfect for that training block. And I just knew that since coming off of COVID, it was stacked with a lot of competitors. And that right there was me putting myself against the dogs and seeing how I stacked up. And then also what insights could I get from the best of the sport immediately to start my career. So.
Are you as prepared as you've ever been for any race heading into Javelina in a couple days?
I don't know if I would say that. I think every block is completely different. Every race is completely different. So there's different things to grasp at. But I am excited. I am in my home space. I have a lot of friends and family coming in for it. I'm going to wear a costume. Like, this shit is going to be sick. And so would I say my training's perfect? I don't, like, you just don't know. Right? Like, there's a roll of a dice with ultras any time. But am I gonna lock my head into my mental space when I get into races and say I'm gonna do whatever I can to get to that finish line, regardless if I'm winning it or not? Yes, that's what's gonna happen. So
last question for the gearheads out there, for the shoe heads out there, what are you wearing from the Nike lineup at Javelina?
Ultraflies for sure, for shoes. And then we have some like Nike split, like tight shorts that have all these pockets that I'm going to wear for sure. And then I'll wear a naked belt, and then I'll wear just a Nike shirt that we're going to color, and then we're going to make it into a costume. It's going to be cool.
Well, Preston, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you. Super excited for your race. We'll make sure to link to all of your social media in the show notes of this episode. Yeah. Thanks so much for adding fireworks to this race. Do you have any final thoughts or, calls to action that you want to leave listeners and viewers with before we go?
Final thoughts, freaking hey, if you haven't ran an ultra yet, do it. It's worth it. That's all I'm gonna say.
Before getting to our conversation with Tara Dower, thanks to Rabbit for sponsoring this show. In celebration of the Javelina 100, Rabbit is offering a special promotion for single track listeners only. Use promo code Javelina20. That's Javelina in all capital letters, and then the number 20 for 20% off your next online order between October 21st and October 29th.
Anyone who makes a purchase with this promo code will also receive a special gift with their order. So head over to runnin'rabbit.com to check out their brand new apparel just in time for the fall. This includes their new High Country flannels, Low Light collection, and more. If you head over to their website before or after those dates, our old code, SINGLETRACK20, still applies. That's a 20% discount code, but you're not going to get the special gift. So with that, let's get on to the conversation with Tara. All right, Tara Dower, first off, it is great to meet. And second, I have so many questions that I'm excited to ask you. But before all that, how are you doing today?
Doing great. I had a long day at work, but I'm excited to sit down and talk about my favorite thing, being ultra running.
Likewise. Well, you were second at Run Rabbit Run in 2022, first in 23, made a 2.5 hour time improvement. I find that all amazing, but I think the thing that caught my attention the most from the first one was when you said that you used your winnings to reinvest back into the sport and you bought like a high-end treadmill. And I find that so awesome because it's just like pure dedication to the sport, pure dedication to your craft. Love it. I don't want to put you on the spot, but are you doing something similar with this year's winnings?
Yeah. So things are still in the works, but I have designated a certain amount of money for next year for travel, for signing up for races, for nutrition. And then I just bought the Therabody, the Jet Pro compression boots.
Wow.
They're like the big dog. Okay. I just bought those, and me and my husband, we use them every single night, even if we're not running. We're still using them because they're so amazing. And I mean, that's just all from Run Rabbit. It's, you know, I love the idea of, you know, it makes me run faster. If there is a prize, then I try to invest that money back into running. Obviously, with the winnings this year, we're going to do a little more. We're going to invest in actual investments, okay, and, you know, renovate some rooms in our townhouse. But yeah, I'm trying to designate some money for next year's races for sure.
I don't know. I found that's really cool. I found just the whole concept cool in general, because I don't know, there's so little prize money to begin with in our sport. When you see people just use it that way, I think it's cool. Talking about the 2023 race, which was just basically a month ago, I recall you telling Fred, the race director, that you should have bet on yourself and that you didn't ahead of time. And even like into the race, you weren't quite confident in your ability because just like the field was so stacked. I find that fascinating as well. And like on the mental side, how did you get it so that things came together and there was self-belief towards the end? Because it seems rare that you can have that mindset and then still make such a great improvement that you did and win the race.
Yeah, I think I was feeling that way for multiple reasons. One, it was a stacked field of women. I have so much respect for these athletes I was racing against in Run Rabbit. I have so much respect for them, and they are just incredible. And I predicted one of my fellow competitors to win the race just because I know she's so fast and so amazing. I don't think I really accounted for what all the work I had been doing this entire year to lead up to Run Rabbit. But I was also nervous going into this race because I had been on the Colorado Trail a month and a half before. And I had done I had set the fastest known time supported, but it's been beat by now by Nina. She beat my record maybe a couple weeks after. So I was still recovering from that. I always experience issues with my feet. So I was going into Run Rabbit pretty nervous about how I could perform coming off an attempt like that. And I guess, you know, when I was out there, I've been trying to tell myself, like, just have fun, just go out there, try your best, leave it all out there. And it all just kind of came together. I experienced a really low in the beginning. And I think that was good, honestly, because usually you experience lows, especially at Run Rabbit, because it gets dark and you're running through the night. I think most people experience a low, halfway through the race or a little further into the race, but I experienced it so soon into the race. It was my lowest point that, you know, anything from there just get better. And it did. It went really well. And I told myself going into the race, have fun, one, especially for that first 30. The first five is uphill. So I told myself it doesn't start until you're at the top of that hill. Cause you're going up, I don't even know, like 6,000 feet, I think it is 5,000 feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the race starts at the top of that mountain. That's what I tell myself. And then I have fun the first 30, talk to some ladies, get to know some people, which I did, which was amazing. And then after that it's go time. And I told myself, just keep running, whatever you do, just keep running throughout the race. I mean, going uphill, obviously hike fast, but just keep up a pace no matter what. And it just ended up being a good result.
There's a couple other questions that I want to ask you before we talk directly about Javelina. And the first just revolves around sort of this, I guess it's subjective, but you've had a pretty jam-packed racing FKT year. You did Black Canyon, Hellbender. I think you did a Backyard Ultra, Colorado Trail, Run Rabbit, bunch more. And I've also heard you say in other interviews that you think that in this community, we may put like unnecessary limits or on racing or rules around recovery. And like in your case, you prefer self-experimentation. And I guess I'm curious, like, what have you personally learned about what's required and what works for you when it comes to like setting a race schedule and bouncing back strongly from big efforts?
It's all experimentation. So, I mean, I'm still in this year of experimenting. So I don't think it's like, I don't have any rules or I don't have whatever excites me really. I obviously want to do races that will hopefully get me to Western states. Hard Rock for sure. Hard Rock's my top race. That's the one I want to do. Obviously I'm going to do races like Black Canyon or, I mean, Javelina, I'm just really excited about because I love 100 milers and I hear it's a good time, but, I'll do races that will get me to those, to Western states or to Hard Rock, but it's really whatever excites me. So, Hellbender, it's those mountains I love. I learned how to trail run, in Western Carolina. So that was exciting. The Backyard Ultra was just like, how far can I go? Colorado Trail was because I love long distance trails. That's how I started this whole adventure, is by hiking the Appalachian Trail. So doing another trail just made sense, and doing it quickly made more sense. So it's really whatever's like exciting. And if, you know, if it doesn't work out, I always say like, you can always start the race and, you know, DNF. I don't want to DNF, but, you know, go out there and see what happens. And if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out. And you learn your lesson. You don't know until you try, I guess, all of that to say, you don't know until you try to see if you can do it.
So like, and maybe as your career progresses over time, you don't see yourself falling into this, like, okay, I should only do like 100 a year, or like, I should only race like once per quarter. Like you're just gonna, go about it your own way.
Yeah. I guess if my lifestyle, or if I get an injury, if that is where I come to, then I come to that point. But I love 100 milers. I love running for long periods of time on trail. I don't think I see myself like slowing down unless I like am forced to slow down. I just love the sport so much. I absolutely love it. I mean, it's really sad. I live for racing and people like making friends out on the trails, during these races. Like I live for that.
I think that's so cool. Couple other things. One, I mean, you've got this awesome, I love people with through hiking backgrounds. You've got the Benton Mackay Trail, the AT, the Colorado Trail, couple FKTs there that you've owned. What have been some of the interesting lessons that you've learned in these through hiking experiences? Like one thing that sticks out to me is like, you only slept 3 hours a night on the Colorado Trail, for example. So like there's maybe some lessons there on operating and sleep deprivation. But like, when you think about that question, what sticks out to you that might interest the audience?
Yeah. First thing that comes to mind is anxiety and anxiety management. I actually quit a thru hike in 2017. I made it 80 miles on the Appalachian Trail and had a severe panic attack. And since then, my time on trail has always helped me, you know, kind of remedy my anxiety. Every time I'm out there, it just gets better and better. And I become, it seems that when I'm on trail, my anxiety sparks, or it used to spark really bad. But I've always just tried to expose myself to that over time. It's gotten a lot better. And now this is my space. This is my happy place. I just love being out there on the trails. That's the first thing that comes to mind. That's the first thing I learned is how to manage my anxiety, being out there. And it's not a specific thing like being alone. It's not like the darkness. It's not animals. It's not people. Sometimes it's people. Most of the time it's people. If I'm like nervous, but anxiety is just a general anxiety that I feel being out there. And I've learned to manage that. But as far as like, FKTs, I would say like thru hiking is way different than an FKT, you know, doing a long distance trail on an FKT. There's so many lessons. I can go on and on and on about all the lessons I've learned thru hiking, but also just FKTs on those long trails like the Colorado Trail. I've learned that you mentioned 3 hours of sleep just is my sweet spot. I don't want to be sleeping too long, but I do need some sleep every day.
I'm reading this book by Jen Farr Davis right now because she's coming on the pod soon. I'm a huge fan of hers. And it's funny, like when I read the race reports or the FKT reports of like Jen Farr Davis and I think Scott Jurek to some extent and Heather Anderson, et cetera, they all say like, I wish I had actually deprioritized sleep and slept like less than 5 to 6 hours a night. Like your body to some extent can be designed to function that way for a month or two. I find that fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jen is actually a huge contributor to my, my original desire to do the FKT. I started with the Mounds of Sea Trail FKT. When I really started getting into like these competitive things on trail or competitive races, FKTs on trail, I worked for Jen. I was a hostel caretaker.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. So she's great. I love her. Are you reading the FKT book by her?
So I just finished reading Becoming Odessa, which is like all about her original thru hikes. And then the name is escaping me, but she does that whole cataloging of all the people that have held the FKT on the AT, like Warren Doyle and Heather and Scott. Pursuit of Endurance.
Pursuit of Endurance. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Great author.
Yeah. Would you ever do the AT one day, like as an FKT? Is that a goal?
Yeah. I'm planning that next year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my, that's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, I'm so excited and there's so many reasons to be excited, but I just want to be back out there again. I love the AT. It's home for me.
We'll have to do an episode later next year, sort of going in depth on that. That's super cool. All right. You said that like with all races, you know, you plan around things that excite you. So I guess getting to Javelina, what excites you about this race?
Yeah. 100 milers right off the bat is my favorite race distance. Having the opportunity to possibly PR on a course is really exciting. My PR is, I did at Umstead, it was my third 100, but it was 16:58. So I'm looking forward to bettering that because I think I've developed a little further as an athlete since then. So I'm looking forward to, you know, getting a PR, but also just meeting all the people out there. There's going to be so many people. I hear it's a party, so I'm excited for that.
Cool. And you're based in Virginia Beach, and I know that maybe this can be perceived as a disadvantage for some races, but in other ways, I mean, I've seen like Pat Regan, who's been based in Savannah, Georgia before, have success at this race, and East Coasters have had success here. How have you been preparing and using that location to your advantage?
Yeah, just the opportunity to run on a flat trail, I guess. And in the humidity, it's still sometimes, you know, a couple days this week were a little toasty and it did get a little humid. So having the humidity, the heat and a flat trail just to keep that, motion, you know, I'm not running up a hill, just being able to have that time on the legs, for the entire run.
Okay. Are you coached?
Yeah, Carl Meltzer is my coach.
Oh, he must be super endorsing the AT.
Yeah, he is. I told him about it. I think it was like before Black Canyon, I told him about it. And we were supposed to have this call about Black Canyon, but we just ended up talking all things about the AT. He's stoked.
Okay. So obviously this is a golden ticket race. Obviously, you know, you have the talent, the caliber to get a golden ticket, but with this AT plan, does that mean you would like forego a ticket or would you go SOBO on the AT then? Like how would you rearrange things?
Yeah, I would go SOBO. That's just the original plan. I would go SOBO for sure, But if I get a ticket, then I'm still going to do the race. If I go to Hard Rock, I'm still going to do the race. But, you know, maybe a month later, I'll go on the AT. So I think Hard Rock, it's early July, second weekend in July. In August is when a lot of people and Carl recommend to start a SOBO FKT. So yeah.
Cool.
So I'd hop out there in Colorado, get some good training. Hopefully I do Hard Rock. I'm hoping, but go out there, do that, and then run over to the East Coast and do the AT, hopefully successfully.
I probably fall in the same bucket as Carl in terms of enthusiasm for the trail. I'm like, this conversation could totally get co-opted by it, but like, what's your favorite section on the AT? Like, what are you looking forward to based on your through hikes?
Oh gosh, it's all so, so great. It just makes my heart so happy talking about this. I would say Vermont is gorgeous. I remember hiking through Vermont and just the air was so fresh and it smelled smelled so great. And the trail is amazing in Vermont. The people are so nice. But I would say Virginia is my favorite, by far my favorite state on the AT. It's long, but it's so diverse. It's got really beautiful fields of green, just swaying grass. But then it's got these really tough climbs up near Three Ridges and the Priest. So much diversity and and it's where I live right now. So I know a lot of people that can come out and help.
Cool. Last question. So I understand you're an ultra athlete. I'm actually demoing the new Forward Experience 4mm drop shoe. Love it. I mean, you can wear anything at Javelina. Like I have friends who are wearing road shoes. They're like, what are you going to be using in the ultra lineup?
Yeah, I love the Mont Blanc. I absolutely love the Mont Blanc. I'll bring a road shoe just in case, and I think it will be the Forward Experience because I have really loved that shoe as well. It's one of my favorites by them. I didn't think I'd love it as much as I do.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Tara, it's been a pleasure to meet. Great to chat. Really excited for your race at the end of this month. We'll make sure to link to all of your relevant social media in the show notes. Any final thoughts or calls to action to share with listeners before we go?
Yeah, I love putting out this message of, you know, go out there and try a race, go sign up for the race and obviously train, train, but go out there and try it. Don't put these limits on yourself. Don't, you know, maybe they're good in some capacity, but I feel like, you know, you don't know what you can do until you try. So I would love to see more women, especially, you know, signing up for those races, getting out there and, I would love to talk with any ladies, men too, but ladies, like I want to see more of us out there at those races on the start line, in the very front of the start line.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, great. Thank you so much for having me.
Before getting to the conversation with Riley Brady, thank you to Oladance for sponsoring the show. Oladance makes wireless Bluetooth headphones that deliver 19 hours of battery life, superior sound, the ability to still safely hear your surroundings, and an open ear design so you can wear them for long periods of time without developing ear pain. If you're interested, head over to oladance.com/ST and use code ST in all capital letters at checkout for $30 off their OWS2 headphones. Also, thanks to Brooks for sponsoring this show. As you probably know by now, I first started using their products, especially the Cascadia 8, way back in 2014 during a thru hike of the Appalachian Trail. Fast forward to 2023, and they've got a new and improved Cascadia 17 and a High Point clothing collection that merges great performance and style. So head over to brooksrunning.com/singletrack to check it all out. And with that, let's get on to the conversation with Riley Brady. Riley Brady, it is a pleasure to have you back on the Single Track podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Finn. How are you?
I'm doing great. And, yeah, if I recall correctly, the last time we chatted, it was roughly a year ago, you were making plans to move out to Boulder to live and train there year round. And if you look at the last 11 to 12-ish months, how is it? Talk about how it's leveled up your running.
Yeah, I feel like it's made me really happy, which honestly, I think plays really well into my athletic life. The weather is perfect here. I have friends here. Like, who want to do the things that I want to do, which then means I have training partners, I have access to the mountains, I'm obviously living at altitude. I feel like I don't have to like try and fit running in around trying to do social things anymore, because it's like that is the social thing. So it's pretty great. I am very, very happy to be here.
Last year you ran 14:45, I think, and secured a golden ticket to Western States in the process. What's the motivation to come back again this year?
I want to go for another golden ticket. I had a really rough day at Western States. Like, I think probably the most difficult day out on a race course I have ever had. So going after another ticket, I want to try and get back to Western. And I want to try and run a fast 100, and like Javelina is a great course to try and do that on.
Talk about Western States for a moment, because sub 21 hours is a fantastic day. Although I have to imagine for an athlete of your caliber, you probably did leave multiple hours on the table. Just talk about the day, like what went well, what didn't, and yeah, like what makes you hungry to go back?
Yeah. So pretty early on, I felt like my stomach was just kind of like off. Like I remember Katie Asmuth actually commenting on it like shortly after we had gone up over the escarpment, because I was burping a lot. And she was like, whoa, like, you okay? And at the time I was like, yeah, you know, it's just going to pass. And it didn't. It just got worse. And I was throwing up like much more violently than I've ever thrown up in a race before. Like I couldn't hold my body up. I was like collapsed on the ground. And usually like I throw up in races all the time. Usually it's just like puke and rally, few seconds gone, keep going. And Western was not that. So it was a pretty rough day, pretty much all day. I started to feel a little bit better towards the very end. But at that point, like, yeah, the day was over.
So as we talked about, you got the golden ticket here last year. And one thing I'm really curious about is having to replicate that process like multiple times over the course of your career. Given that you've already had the experience, does it feel like, I don't want to say less pressure, but like there's less, less chaos or less like confidence that you can do it again? Or do you still feel like there's like a similar amount of like an uphill battle to get it?
That's a good question. I think things have really changed for me since last year. Like this time last year, I was extremely stressed going into Javelina. And even though I was going after a ticket, I was kind of like, I had so many things on my mind that I was like, this is kind of, you know, if it happens, it happens. Great. and this year, I feel like I'm much more relaxed. But I still feel like it's never a guarantee. Like anything can happen over the course of 100 miles. Anything can happen in ultras. So I'm confident that I can compete in this field. Like I think I have a very legitimate shot at a ticket, but I'm not like walking in being like, oh yeah, I'm going to walk away with this.
Well, you had a great day last year. When you look back at that race, in addition to the positives and things that went well, are there any things that you're looking back at and saying like, I could have improved on that, or I left some time out on the course there? Talk about any like race day execution changes that might take place this year as a result.
Yeah. So last year I threw up a handful of times in the second lap. And I figured out pretty quickly, it was like because of a specific gel I was using. Yeah. So I've changed up my fueling a little bit. And I'm pretty excited. Like I've been training really well with the fueling. So I'm hoping the stomach can stay calm. That would be like the biggest improvement, I think.
But otherwise, like other factors like the heat and sort of like the terrain profile, you feel like you nailed those pretty well?
Yeah, I feel good about kind of every other element of the race. I'd like to replicate it, you know, as best I can.
Obviously, you know, your training environment is a lot different this time around. I'm guessing you spent a lot of the buildup in Boulder. Is there anything else different? Like, are you running different mileage, different types of workouts? Anything else changed in training?
My mileage is definitely higher. And I think my workouts are probably harder. But I think that that's just kind of like, I don't know, natural progression of working with David and like him trusting that I can handle higher volumes and stuff like that.
What's higher volume in your case?
So I think my biggest week was a little over 100 miles. Wow. Yeah. So I like volume. I feel like I don't execute workouts quite as well, but I like volume a lot.
How about training partners? Are you like Meg Morgan, anyone in the Boulder community that you're running with a lot?
Meg is unfortunately injured and I miss her very much. So I've been running with my roommate, Troy. We've done a few good runs together. My friend Brian, we did a run up Pikes Peak together, which was really nice. But I actually feel like I've been training alone more in this build than I was for the build to Western, where I had more buddies. I think a lot of people got hurt.
Yeah. Maybe final question here is just like, you know, you talked about the change in some of the nutrition execution on race day. How about the rest of like your race day gear, your kit? Like what shoes are you wearing, for example?
Yeah, I think I'm going to wear the Nike Ultraflies. I do really like those shoes. Feel like they bounce pretty well and they're comfortable. And kind of perfect for this course, I think. And then everything else I think is staying exactly the same in my kit. I plan to be wearing same shirt, same shorts, same pack.
Okay.
All that stuff as last year. Yeah. Yeah, I hate handhelds. Like I know maybe it's better for like heat transfer, whatever, but I hate handhelds, so I stick with the pack.
I recall seeing a video of you on Instagram. I think it might have been at Gorge last year, where you're doing one of those really nifty like pack changeouts where you have like your crew sort of holding the pack and you're sort of dancing out of one into another. It's impressive.
Yeah, we work on getting the like pack transfer down.
Also, so I understand you're a free agent. So does that mean you are like, if brands are listening to this, are you actively looking for sponsors at this time?
Yeah. I think, like I said, before we went online, I'm pretty bad at promoting myself and kind of aggressively going after brands, but I'm definitely interested and definitely looking. It would be pretty awesome.
Cool. Well, Riley, always a pleasure to chat. Very excited to watch your race unfold at Javelina next weekend. And thanks for the time. We appreciate you.
Yeah. Thanks, Finn.